Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Wrong Car, Right Guy by Megan Wade. Narrated by Penelope Ann Rose and Jack Callahan. 1. Ruby. The bass thumps, vibrating in my chest, as I tap the bar rhythmically, drumming my red fingernails while the bartender lines up 18 shots. Come on, come on! Tonight we'll end up with someone on the floor or it won't end at all. Oh my God, Ruby, how many of these did you order? Talia yells, the noise of the packed bar making normal conversation an impossibility. I lean close to her ear and yell back, enough to make you forget about that asshole of a man who had the audacity to call himself your boyfriend. Talia purses her lips and frowns, her auburn hair falling forward over her shoulders. Today is her birthday, 25. And instead of having the time of her life, we're drinking away her heartache after her douchebag of a boyfriend decided to dump her yesterday. Seriously, who dumps someone the day before their birthday? Asshats do. That's who. Oh, darling, don't say the B word around Tolly Pie. Darren, our resident drag queen who goes by the moniker Coco Monroe on stage, says, clicking his manicured fingers at my twin brother Theo, then pointing at the row of shots with a dangerously long stiletto nail. I look at my chipped polish and wish I was as well-groomed as Darren. Let's do this. Theo steps forward, slinging a muscled arm around his boyfriend's slender shoulders. I love Darren like a sister, but he's prettier than me, even out of drag. He has the kind of body runway models starve themselves for, and cheekbones for days. I need to drink just so I don't feel like the duff of the group when I stand beside him. When he morphs himself into a she, well, I don't stand a chance. Coco Monroe is so pretty, a straight man would consider switching teams just for a date with her. Me? I don't get dates at all. With basic blonde hair, brown eyes, and more than my fair share of curves, I'm about as plain-looking as one can get. Makeup helps. My feisty attitude doesn't. Still, I'm not about to start changing. At 26, I'm rather set in my ways, and I kind of like it like that. Men are overrated. Maybe I should just call him, Talia suggests, sighing as we line up along the bar, our shots in front of us. I mean, maybe he just got cold feet or... No! Theo, Darren, and I seem to yell in unison. Okay. Talia's eyes startle and she tucks her phone straight back into her purse. On the count of three, I say, handing her a shot before picking up my own. We need to get this show on the road before she's making excuses to leave and knocking on his door. From what I've learned over the years, watching my stunning best friend work her way through one disastrous relationship after another is that the trick to helping her move on is to keep her distracted. Ready? Theo and Darren hold their shots in the air and give me a resolute nod. Talia sniffs hers and shrugs. I guess. Okay, then. I start, flicking my long hair over my shoulder. 1, 2, 3. Whore! The noise coming out of Talia's body is akin to the sound a demon would make while being exercised. For once during the course of our friendship, I'd say no to switching my oversized body with her tiny one. Mine holds liquor way better. That's it, baby. Get it all out, Darren says soothingly, rubbing her back while she pukes on the ground next to a dumpster. Theo and I try to find a cab so we can get her home and into bed. Did she drink more than us? He asks, sucking on the end of a cigarette that he never lights. He used to be a massive smoker, but ever since he started dating Darren, he's been trying to quit. He claims that holding one in his mouth helps with the cravings. Less. She's just a bit of a lightweight. Poor girl. Seeing a flash of yellow round the corner, I step out into the street, ready to flag it down. But it stops about 20 yards away from us when someone gets in first. Damn it! I sigh as the light shuts off and it drives by the space where we stand, the dirty slush surrounding our cold feet. Occupied. I'm okay. I can walk, Talia says, her voice sounding hoarse as she emerges from the side of the building, leaning heavily on Darren. Are you sure? We'll find a cab, eventually, I assure her, not really liking our chances at 2 o'clock on a Sunday morning. It isn't that there aren't any around. New York is teeming with cabs. The problem is they're mostly taken, and the ones that aren't don't want to risk having some girl puke in the back. I'm sure. Walking will be faster anyway. Come on, then. My brother slips his arm around her waist and holds her against his strong body.
Ugh, why aren't you straight?
She gripes, loping along beside him. If you've ever seen that movie Twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito in it, you'll have an idea as to the difference between mine and Theo's looks. My twin is tall and beautiful, with slightly darker hair than I have, a sculpted body that I don't possess, and a 1,000-watt smile. In high school, girls fell at his feet, but he was never one to swing their way. He didn't date at all until college, which is when Darren entered his life. They met at a bar when Theo was only 21 and have been inseparable ever since. We should all have a love as pure as theirs. Sometimes, I think that's why I'm still single. I'm waiting to find my Coco. He can never be straight because he's too bent up over me, Darren jokes, walking alongside Theo with his hips swaying from side to side. He's in a pair of jeans and a fitted tank top with 5-inch heels on his feet, traversing the sidewalk as easily as if he was wearing a set of trainers. Meanwhile, I'm wobbling along in my 2-inch heels that are biting into my feet and giving me blisters on my toes while I carry both Talia's and my bags, sweating in 40-degree weather. I suck at this being feminine thing.
Well, you're lucky, Talia says. I keep thinking I'll find my one, but...
I can hear the hitch in her voice that tells me a distraction is needed and stat. I am not having her finish her birthday celebration by crying over the douchebag who dumped her. Just as I'm about to tell a bad joke or burst into song, the sleek black body of a familiar-looking Porsche comes into view, looking a lot like a panther crouching in the dark. Talia, I stop walking, the others quickly following suit. Isn't that douchebag's stupid car parked right over there? Squinting against the dim lighting and the alcohol in her system, Talia looks at the car and shrugs.
I think so.
Terrence, the guy she was dating, stupid name, was an investment banker and loved to flash money around like he was the mayor of Pimptown. Honestly, I always hated the guy. He was smarmy and talked down to people. But Talia has been my best friend since the first grade, so I put up with him for her. But now that he's unceremoniously dumped her in the nastiest of ways, I can let my true feelings be known. That's his car, I declare, starting across the street, my anger on behalf of my friend churning in the pit of my stomach. What are you doing? Theo calls out, a tone of warning in his voice that reminds me of our father. Getting a little justice. I reach into my bag and pull out my keys. Ruby, I don't think whatever you're thinking of doing is a good idea, Darren adds. Coming to a stop at the hood of the car, I grin. It's a perfect idea. After that, their protests are drowned out by the sound of my keys squeaking against the metal. It grates in my ears satisfyingly, and when I'm done, the words, "You are a," glint brightly in the streetlights, positioned over the drawing of a giant cock and balls, now permanently etched into the pristine paint job of the Porsche.
You are a dick?
A male voice sounds to my left. A giant dick, I correct, my inebriation making me as cocky as my drawing. Do you think I need to put the word giant there to get my message across?
That depends. Who are you?
Wait, are you a cop? Suddenly concerned, my heart thuds in my ears as I tuck my keys out of sight. Taking in his messy blonde hair and rumpled suit, he doesn't look like a cop. But appearances can be deceiving. Just ask Talia. She dates good-looking butt munches all the time.
Not a cop,
rumpled hot guy says as he presses his perfect lips together in a straight line. Seriously, what is it with these guys and their long lashes and full lips? I actually look like a Cabbage Patch doll if I don't wear lipstick and mascara. And here he is looking like he rolled out of bed being beautiful just the way he is. Homeless then? Fresh from a divorce and sleeping under your desk at work? Only own one outfit so that's what you wear when awake or asleep?
What?
Your suit, I say, indicating its crushed state with my index finger. It's rumpled. My eyes bug out. Wait, I know. You picked up tonight and you're doing the hump and dash. Well, at least one of us is getting laid. Good for you, man. Good for you. But don't let me stand in your way. Keep going before the girl, or guy, I don't judge, finds you and wants something more. Commitment is hard, am I right? He frowns and shakes his head.
Do I know you?
I don't think so, but you could know me, if you're into curvy gals, of course.
I attempt to pop a hip and stand there looking sexy like I've seen other girls, and Darren, do. But I'm not sure it translates because his scowl deepens. Okay, not a fan of curves, then. Why did you write this? He gestures to the Porsche. Well, I start, spinning my keys around my finger because I'm quite proud of the detail I achieved in the ball section of my artwork. There's an interesting story there, and it involves the fuckwad who owns this car. He's a cunt monkey, for want of a better term, and he deserves to be called out for it.
A cunt monkey?
Reaching up, he runs his fingers through his sexy, sexy hair. I'd like to run my fingers through it, too.
Because?
I sigh. Because he dumped my friend the night before her birthday. The knowledge causes him to pull his head back in surprise.
I broke up with Jessica because she had a hard time keeping other men's penises out of her. As far as I'm aware, it wasn't anywhere near her birthday. Her birthday's in June.
Blame it on the alcohol, but I'm confused. What?
I broke up with Jessica because...
I heard you. I hold up my hand to stop him. Who the hell is Jessica? What are you even talking about? All I'm getting from this conversation is that he was dating some woman called Jessica, who doesn't sound very nice. I can't understand who, in their right mind, could step out on a delicious-looking man like the specimen in front of me. I mean, look at that beautiful body. Look at that chiseled jaw. Look at those sapphire eyes and how they glare at me. Wait. Oh, God. He's glaring at me. Oh, dear. I take a step back and surreptitiously drop my keys back inside my bag. This isn't his car, is it? I ask, gulping at the slow shake of his head. This is your car. He nods even slower, his arms folded across his broad chest as the penny drops with me. My stomach sours as I realize what a monumental fuck-up I've just achieved. This was an all-time high, bigger than that time in high school when I put a love letter in the wrong person's locker. Turned out it belonged to the head cheerleader and not the adorable nerdy boy from chess club. By lunchtime, it was photocopied and stuck on every available surface. I was mortified and refused to show my face for days. I was still finding copies of that letter stuffed in my locker even months later. Ugh, high school sucked, but this is worse. I'll pay to fix it. Reaching in my bag, I dig out my business card with shaking hands, suddenly feeling very sober. I mean, I can't pay, not for a Porsche. You know, student loans are a killer, and, I don't really get paid that much. My job is pretty dead-end, so I don't see a promotion in my future, but, we can work something out. A payment plan, or something. I can quit eating. My voice trails off as I hand him the slightly bent card. While he inspects it, I glance over my shoulder to where Theo is still waiting with Talia and Darren. I can't see their expressions, but I know Darren is laughing since his hand is covering his mouth. I twist my mouth downward. Why didn't you all stop me from doing something stupid? But the moment the thought enters my mind, I know I wouldn't have listened to them anyway. No, I had nobody to blame here but my spontaneous blow-the-consequences self.
You work at WHGC?
He flips the card between his fingers so the printed side is facing me. I'm a lowly board operator. It's the talent who gets all the cash. And with Spotify and Apple Music taking over, there's not as much of that anymore. You won't believe the amount of damage those streaming apps have caused. I mean, they thought Pandora was a problem at first, but that was nothing compared to... I trail off, wishing I'd shut up with every word that spews from my mouth. I'm sorry, okay? I messed up here, but I'll fix it. I promise you. He makes a sound that either means he agrees or that he thinks I'm full of crap. I'm not sure which, but both would be a fair response in this situation.
I'll be in touch, Miss Casey.
He tucks my card into his pocket and makes for the driver's door. Shouldn't I, get your details too?
How about you just wait for my call?
He returns, his voice sounding a little like a growl that startles me and turns me on at the same time. Scary hot. Nodding, I stand back as he gets into his Porsche and drives off. I've really messed up this time. I can't pay for a paint job to fix a Porsche. I'm barely making rent as it is. Crap.
You crazy bitch, Darren calls out, laughing as I make my way back to them.
Theo looks pissed. He's giving me that big brother glare of disappointment that he has no right giving me, since he's younger than me by nearly 10 minutes. What? I'll pay to fix it, I snap, my arms held out defensively to the side.
Oh yeah? With what money?
Having no substantial retort, I go for the most grown-up response I have and poke my tongue out at him.
I can help pay, Talia puts in. You did it for me.
I reach out and give her arm a squeeze. No, sweetie, that was all me. I'll deal with it. There's no way she can afford it either. She lives in the same crappy building I do and earns even less than me writing about fashion accessories for Icon magazine. I guess that's how she got so blindsided by that jerk of an ex. I mean, who doesn't want some wealthy Prince Charming-ish guy to come along and wave his magic money wand so all your struggles go away? I'd probably fall for it too. But in my case, the only hot rich guys asking for my number are also planning on taking my money too. When am I ever going to get a break? As we walk the rest of the way home, blisters form on my feet and a cloud of doom nestles over my shoulders. I sense a lawsuit and bankruptcy in my future. My life as I know it is now over, all because of a dick pic. 2. Ruby. Over the coming days, every time my phone rings, I about jump out of my skin, for fear it'll be Sir Rumpled Sexy Skin demanding all my paychecks for the next 11 billion years. The anxiety is giving me nightmares, and every time I go outside, I'm scared I'll be arrested for vandalism, or that I'll have some court clerk serve me with a notice that I'm being sued. I'm on edge, I'm not sleeping, and I'm never drinking again. By the time another Monday morning rolls around, the bags under my dull brown eyes have bags of their own, and when I try to hide them with concealer, they look more like an old man's testicles than the smooth skin the anti-aging products promised. It's times like these I wish it was socially acceptable to wear sunglasses inside. Dragging my feet into Starbucks at the ass crack of dawn, pitfalls of working breakfast radio, I yawn so wide my jaw hurts. I should probably call in sick, but the distraction of working helps keep me from worrying. Hey, Andy, I say through my yawn, lifting a hand to wave at the usual dude behind the counter. Want me to make that a double today? He asks, arching a dark eyebrow. I nod, noting that the messy bun I twisted my hair into is loose. Please, I yawn again. Breakfast radio is a cruel mistress. It demands we get to the station by 5 every morning. Thankfully, New York really is the city that never sleeps, and there are 24-hour Starbucks all over the place. Andy is literally my favorite person in the world at this time of the morning. There you go, he says, handing me my usual Americano. I wrap my hands around it and hold it to my nose, trying to inhale the caffeine before I taste it. You're a god among men, Andy. He grimaces. Tell Karen that. The silent treatment again? I ask, placing my cup on the counter, then upending 4 sachets of Sweet and Low into it. Andy and his girlfriend have a very one-sided relationship that I've heard all about over the last couple of years. One time, he didn't notice she'd had her eyebrows waxed, so she quit speaking to him for a week and wouldn't tell him why. All I can think is that she must be amazing in bed, because he puts up with a lot from her. That, or he's an emotional doormat since he seems to let her walk all over him. I feel bad for the guy. She's got a lot of opinions on the things I do, he says with a sigh, his eyes looking up to the ceiling. How I dress, what I eat, the times I go to the bathroom. That wakes me up. Excuse me? The times you what? She's angry because I used the bathroom before she went in to do her hair and, you know, it smelled a little. I mean, I sprayed air freshener. But she's a lot of opinions about air freshener, too. And I bought the wrong one this time, so... Another sigh. That's a bit OTT, Andy. I think I'd give her the silent treatment right back. He shakes his head. Oh, no. I wouldn't do that to her. It doesn't feel nice. I don't want her to feel bad. But it's okay for her to make you feel bad. Andy is a sweet guy. Completely lacking a backbone, but sweet. I don't think it's fair he feels like he's in trouble half the time. He scrunches his nose up. It did smell. Well, I guess you'll work something out then, I say, pressing the lid onto my cup with a sigh. I haven't rested my brain enough to delve further into this. See you tomorrow. See you, Ruby.
He waves at me with his hand over his head like I'm really far away. By the time I make it to work, almost everyone has gathered in the meeting room, ready to go over today's schedule. Sucking on my coffee like it's my lifeblood, I push through the door and take my regular seat next to V, the female half of the morning show's duo. "What are you doing here?" she whispers, a slight frown on her delicate brow.
I work here?"
"You've been reassigned." I almost choke on my coffee. "Weren't you told?" I manage to swallow before any major foul befalls me.
This is the first I'm hearing about it.
"Someone should have called you. The station has some big-shot DJ taking over the drive home. You've been requested to work the panel." My jaw falls open.
"Requested? By whom? The big shot?"
She shrugs.
"Seems that way."
"Well, who is it? And how the hell did they know to ask for me?" She shrugs again.
"Some guy called Tanner Wright. He's been poached from Z100, but I hear he's a little boorish, has an opinion on everything, and he isn't afraid to say what he thinks.
I listened to one of his shows. I think he gets a kick out of riling people up. Word is, he demanded that you were moved to his show, requested you by name.
Maybe he heard you're the best board operator at the station."
"I am?" Perhaps I should have been asking for a raise before now. I had no idea. V eyes me carefully.
"Do you seriously not know any of this?"
I shake my head, about to ask more questions when the big boss Gerald Brooks walks in.
"Ruby, what the hell are you doing here? Don't you check your messages?" he barks, frowning my way. "Go home!"
I start.
"Stop flapping your mouth, girl. You aren't needed until 3,
he cuts in, never a big one for back-and-forth conversation. He's a bit like the chief in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Great at giving orders, low on personality. Nodding quickly, I gather my things and stand.
"Good luck with your promotion,"
V whispers, giving my hand a quick squeeze before I head out the door.
Did I seriously just get a promotion?
When I get out onto the street, I pull myself from my bag and power it up, checking my calls.
Sure enough, there's a message telling me I've been reassigned.
I really need to check my phone more often. I could have gotten myself a few hours extra sleep. Nevertheless, this reassignment could be a big opportunity for me.
I kind of thought I'd progressed as far as I would ever go in this job. But if moving to the afternoon show is a promotion, then it looks like my job isn't so dead-end after all. Still, why would the talent request me? It doesn't make any sense.
Climbing the 4 flights of stairs for the second time that day, I make my way to the meeting room with my heart hammering in my chest.
I'm not nervous, I'm annoyed.
I spent the day listening to past recordings of this Tanner Wright, and honestly, I don't like what I heard. He's what the media labels as a shock jock, with most of his shows dissecting current events in a way that an internet troll would. There was one particular show he did a while back that really pissed me off. It was back when the laws around gay marriage were changing, and he asked his listeners what their stance on the topic was. Every bigot and armchair activist listening called into the show, and Tanner Wright encouraged them to have an almighty debate. Needless to say, things got heated, and all the while, Mr. Wright just sat in the middle playing devil's advocate, like he could actually understand or sympathize with a person who was against two people being in love and having the right to marry one another. The guy who was against the change even suggested that being part of the LGBTQIA+ community was a lifestyle choice. I almost threw my headphones out the window so I didn't have to listen anymore. I was so mad. I suppose these kinds of conversations make for great ratings. Controversy always does. But it isn't something I'm particularly happy being affiliated with, especially when my brother is gay. And I know for a fact he had no choice in it. He struggled for years before he came out. The fact Tanner Wright didn't object when a caller suggested otherwise really got my goat. So, I'm pissed at Mr. Wright before I've even met him.
Casey!
I startle at the sound of my surname, turning to find the boss glaring at me with his hands on his hips.
My office, now!
I mutter in reply a small, "Yes, sir," scampering after him like a frightened little puppy. No one around here dares to call Gerald Brooks anything except sir. He yells when he's happy, he yells when he's annoyed, and when he's angry, he positively booms. I swear I pee a little every time he says my name. Rushing to keep up with him, I make it through his office door a second behind him, then promptly sit in the seat he points to. Am I fired now?
Being the station boss, you'd imagine Gerald's office would be large with a big window overlooking a park or something. But Gerald Brooks's office is nothing more than a hole in the wall, crammed with filing cabinets and a desk that you can barely see the surface of due to all the files and coffee cups that cover it. The only window in here leads out to the bullpen, through which he can often be seen standing and glaring out at his employees. In a way, it suits him. He's a man who doesn't give a fuck. He does things his way and has no desire to change. That's why he still conducts business like computers haven't been invented yet. Paper only. Hence, the filing cabinets and files overwhelming the space. Gerald moves his bulky body around to the other side of his desk, plucking a folder from somewhere inside the stack and slapping it on the desk in front of me.
Read it, sign it, then get your ass in the meeting room.
Okay. I open the folder as he takes a seat on his creaky chair.
It's your new employment contract and non-disclosure,
he clarifies with a grunt, you know, just in case I can't read the bold print in front of me that says as much. I'll just read it first, I say, flashing him a quick smile. He harumphs. You know that actor Tom Selleck? Well, Gerald Brooks looks like a salt-and-pepper-haired, slightly more weathered version of him. He's probably the only man I've ever met who can successfully pull off a mustache and not look like a porn star from the 70s.
Don't have all day here, Casey, he grumps.
Do you have a pen? I ask. A blue bureau flicks across the desk and rolls to a stop on the open folder. Thanks. Picking it up, I start initialing each page as I scan the terms. From what I can see, it's exactly like my previous contract, except the show I'm working on has changed along with the hours I'm working. As I get to the final page, I hold the pen over the signature line, almost ready to sign, when I spot one glaring error.
Is there a problem, Casey?
Gerald barks, his eyes pinning me to the spot. I squirm in my seat. I hate being yelled at. It's just that the job title is wrong. It says I'm a personal assistant, not a board operator.
And?
I gulp. And I'm a board operator. My voice squeaks uncontrollably.
Not anymore,
he states, his voice still gruff as he reaches over and flips the page. But I prepare myself for an argument. He might be intimidating, but I'm not the type to sit back and be trampled all over when I perceive things to be unfair. Still, he doesn't give me the chance.
And before you start complaining that this is some kind of demotion, you can stop. You got a raise.
He taps his finger against the remuneration section, and I just about balk. That's almost double what I was earning before, I whisper. What the hell? Mr. Brooks mirrors the sentiment.
I don't know what the hell he wants with you, kid, but he insisted it had to be you.
He actually asked for me by name? I ask. Why? I don't even know him. He shrugs.
Who fucking knows, Casey? But whatever he wants, I expect you to keep that man fucking happy.
I'm pretty sure that's sexual harassment, sir. I don't care who this Tanner Wright is. There's no way I'm going to fuck him just to keep him happy. I haven't read the contract properly, but I'm fairly certain prostitution is still illegal and isn't in my job description.
I said keep him fucking happy, not fuck him happy.
He shakes his head and rolls his eyes.
Everyone is so fucking sensitive these days. But to put this shit in perspective for you, kid, we're in trouble. This station, everyone here. If this show doesn't do well and bring in some big advertising dollars, then we're all screwed. I'm definitely not asking you to sleep with the man. I would never do that. But I am counting on you to do your job, keep him happy, and keep him here. We need this.
I suck in a breath. This is far more responsibility than I was prepared for when I woke up this morning. Far more than I can probably handle. I can barely manage to save myself from my own stupidity on any given day. How the hell am I supposed to save the station from closing down? But the money? I can really use that money. Ramen noodles take your hunger away, but when they've been your primary source of sustenance since freshman year in college, they get a little tired. I'll be able to afford regular, tasty groceries. And I might even be able to afford new clothes when those tasty groceries grow my waistline. This is sounding more like winning the longer I think about it.
Can I count on you or not, Casey?
Mr. Brooks barks. You can, I say, my voice steadier than it's been the entire time as I sign the contract in a flourish and hand it back to him. I'm not sure I even know how to be a personal assistant, But I guess I'm about to find out. Here goes nothing. 3.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?